All right, it's good to be with you, and it's good to have special guests from North India, Sergio and Echel, and their son, and their surname is Quirakpam, Sergio Quirakpam. He's a full-time worker in an assembly in the province of Manipur and the area called Tentha. So welcome, Sergio, to be with us here today. I want to read a scripture, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, by way of introduction only. 1 Corinthians 2, in verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's the subject of Paul's preaching, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And what I want to share with you this morning, something that I've been enjoying very much, what it means to preach Christ, to preach Christ. And when we preach Christ, we're not speaking about Christ, we're speaking Christ, to preach Christ. And there's a verse that I'd like to read in Acts chapter 5. You might turn to Acts 5 because I want to read a little section there. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. We read about Philip the evangelist. When the church had been persecuted, we read, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." He didn't preach about a historical person. He preached Christ. And that really impressed me, that when I preach, am I conscious that I'm preaching Christ? It's like Paul, and "I determined nothing to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And here we see Philip. He goes down to Samaria and he preaches Christ to them. And there was a great revival took place. It says in verse 8 that there was great joy in that city. So when Christ is preached, that brings great joy to the hearts of the people as a way of salvation. Now, before the revival's finished, that the Lord speaks to Philip and he says, "Philip, I want you to leave Samaria and I want you to go down into the desert." Now, that'd be a hard thing for a preacher to do when he's in a revival. "But Lord, I'm in a revival." Well, you go down to the desert. And Philip obeyed the word of the Lord and he went down to the desert. And it just so happened that what the Lord wanted him to know was that there was a eunuch who was the treasurer of all the goods of Ethiopia, who had been up to Jerusalem to try and find the Savior, but he didn't find the Savior, and he was going back home. But one thing that he had picked up the book of the prophecy of Isaiah. And so when he's going home, we read starting in verse 32 of chapter 8, verse 32, "The place of the scripture which the Ethiopian read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man. And in verse 35 is the verse I'm looking for. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. Just like what he was doing in Samaria where he preached Christ. And here is preaching Jesus. And we know how the Ethiopian got saved and baptized and went on his way rejoicing. But again, it's a challenge for me to speak about Christ, to speak about Jesus in the preaching. And I'm sure that that's the thing that the Lord would have us to do. We preach about other things and historical things and dry things and so on. But the great thing is to preach about Jesus and about Christ. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to share a few things about what it means to preach Christ. And so my first point is this. We preach Christ when we present him as a living person and Savior. We preach Christ when we present him as a living Savior. You see, Jesus Christ is alive today. He's alive. Brother Les was reading how he died at the cross. That we know he was laid in the grave. And he rose from the grave. And now he's in heaven. He's alive. And all the other great men who ever lived in the world, every one of them died. When Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2, and I'll read a verse to you, Acts chapter 2, in verse 29. We read this. Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He's a great man from the past, a great man in the Old Testament, David. And Peter goes on to say, concerning the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. A great man, even a man of God. He was dead and he was buried, and his tomb, Peter said, you can come and see the tomb of David. There it is, he's dead. But Jesus Christ is the only great person from the past who lived and died and is now alive forevermore in the presence of God. And that's what it means to preach Christ. We preach him as a living Savior. The psalmist, I was almost going to share this verse in the meeting before, but I'm glad I saved it for now. Psalm 45 in verse 2 says this. The psalmist was speaking concerning Christ. And he says concerning Christ, you are fairer than the children of men. You are fairer than the children of men. What does that mean? Now, he doesn't say you're the fairest of the children of men. Oh, no, he didn't say that, because that wouldn't be right to say that. Christ, he says, is fairer than all the children of men. There's no comparison between him and the others, because he's a Savior and he is alive in the presence of God. And so that's the one who wants to be our Savior today. And when we preach him as being alive in the presence of God, we are preaching Christ, because that is the truth. So that's point number one. Point number two, we preach Christ when we remind ourselves that he is in our midst. When he is in our midst, he's alive and he's with us. is with us. And in Matthew 18 and 20, which is a great text that I learned in my young days in Scotland, that was an all-important thing for us to remember when we came together. I know we can't come together now because we're separated because of the virus and so on. It's been a long time for this. I don't want to go there, but when we come together as a church, we recognize as being the most important thing that Jesus Christ is in our midst. Matthew 18 and 20 says, where two or three, could be a small church, only two or three, where two or three are gathered together in my name, gathered together in the name of Christ, the Lord says, there I am in the midst of them. So when we gather together as a local assembly, we recognize that Jesus is in our midst. And he loves to be there. He loves to be with his people. The very first day that he rose from the dead, in John chapter 20, the disciples were gathered together in the upper room. We read this, that Jesus came unto them and he was in their midst and he said, peace be unto you. So what a joy it is when we know, when we gather together, that we sense his presence with us as a living, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. With Jesus in our midst, we gather round the board. Though many, we are one in Christ, one body in the Lord. So he's alive, he's risen from the dead, and when we gather together as the church, he gathers with us in our midst. And there's a title in some of the Psalms, to the leader of the praise, to the leader of the praise. He is in our midst, and he is the leader of our praise to his God and Father. So that's point number two. Point number three. We preach Christ when we present ourselves in the preaching as his ambassadors. This is important. We preach Christ when we present ourselves as his ambassadors. And a scripture for that is 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Just for connection's sake, I'll read verses 18, 19, and 20. 2 Corinthians 5. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we're reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and he's given us a message. He's given us a message of reconciliation because the world is at enmity to God. And we can take the message of reconciliation, and it's this, that God wants to make peace with you. God wants to make peace with you. In verse 20, now then, Paul says, we are ambassadors. What a dignified title that is. The preachers of the gospel are God's ambassadors to the world. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this. As though God did beseech you by us. God is beseeching. And he goes on to say, we pray you in Christ's place, in Christ's stead. be reconciled to God. Now, there's two things here about God and Christ that are precious. God is, through the preacher, who's preaching reconciliation. What that means is that God is pleading with the unbeliever to come into his favor, to be in favor with God. God is beseeching you to do that. And not only that, he says, in Christ's stead, we beseech you, be reconciled to God. What does it mean? It means this, that when I'm preaching the gospel, if I could move out of the way and Christ could take my place, Christ would be saying the very same thing as what I'm saying. In Christ's stead, I pray, be reconciled to God. Do you know what it means to be reconciled? When two people are not on speaking terms with each other, and that's like God and the sinner. They're not on speaking terms, but God, through his work at the place called Calvary, through the work of his Son, made reconciliation. And God then says, as he commissions the preachers to go all over the world with the message, tell them you're ambassadors for Christ, and God wants you to be reconciled with God. Now, you have to receive the reconciliation, Romans 5 and 11. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the reconciliation. We're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ if we accept and submit to the message of the gospel in the cross and the message of reconciliation. Enjoyed that thought. You know, it's a wonderful thing that to preach as an ambassador for Christ. Number four, we preach Christ when we press his claims upon the hearers. We preach Christ when we press his claims upon the hearers. And a scripture for that is Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31. Acts 30. And the times past, God overlooked. God left the people alone. You know, it's a very sad thing. And it's a very solemn thing when God leaves people alone. Some of the boasting sinners in the world say, I despise God if he exists and he doesn't do anything to me. You know why he doesn't do anything to you? Because he's left you alone. He's left you alone. That's a terrible thing to be in, to be left alone by God. But now, God commandeth. It's a command. He commands all men, everyone, everywhere in India and Canada, all around the world. He commands all men everywhere to repent. That's it. The Great Commission in Luke 24, preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. Without repentance, there's no forgiveness of sins. But the command is given from the authority of Christ, who has power over all things in heaven and on earth. He commands all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Christ is risen. And in the purposes of God, he's going to sit on the great white throne. And he's going to judge the world. And it's going to be a judgment in righteousness. A judgment in righteousness. And the only way that you and I can escape this judgment is by repenting of our sins completely turning away from sin and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the story is told, but I'll just give you the last line where the judge says, "I'm condemning you," to the criminal who was standing at the bar. "One day I could have been your savior, but you rejected me. And now I'm your judge." So he's commanding you to repent from your sins and to escape the judgment of God that's established in the last days in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. And so we plead with you to turn from your life of sin and give yourself wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number five, we preach Christ when we tell of his finished work and when we tell that his blood cleanses from all sins. That's how it is to preach Christ. We preach Christ when we tell of his finished work. And remember John 19 and 30, when the Lord was on the cross, and right at the end of that 6 hours of suffering, he drank the sour wine. And when he knew that all things were now accomplished, he said three words. He said one word in the Greek language, but three words in the English. "It is finished." It's a finished work. We used to sing a hymn in Scotland. I loved it. "It is finished." What a gospel. Nothing left for you to do but to take with grateful gladness what the Savior did for you. The work's finished. There's nothing for you to do. To come to Christ is all that's required, and you'll rejoice in a finished work. And you'll know also that in that finished work, that Christ can save you from all sins. John 1 and verse 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin." Every sin that I've ever committed, they're all gone. They're all cleansed in the blood of Christ. And I accepted that finished work of Jesus Christ as having been done in my place. And I'm forgiven. And I'm saved by the grace of God. Point number six. When we preach Christ, we preach him as one who can deliver from the power of sin in a life day by day. Romans 8 and 13. "If we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we by the Spirit do put to death the sins of the flesh, we shall live." We shall live. And there's only one power that can give you deliverance from sin. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. But when you're saved, you have the ability, in the Holy Spirit being with you, to live a life of victory over the bondage of sin. And I know that the world today, and millions, if you like, of professing Christians who profess to know the Lord, they're under the bondage and the captivity of sin through the internet and all these things. And Christ can give you the deliverance from that. He gave me the deliverance from that. I know that in an experiential way, I'm a free man from these things because I'll look to Christ, and by the help and power of his Holy Spirit, I was delivered from the bondage of sin. It's the only way that can do it. The Spirit has come into our life as believers to help us to live a victorious Christian life. And that's one of the great points about preaching Christ, when we preach that by his Spirit, he's a present deliverer from the bondage of sin. And then the last point, we preach Christ when we tell that to reject him is to perish forever. Point number 7. We preach Christ when we tell that to reject him is to perish forever. And the scripture for this is John 3:16. And I'd like you to listen to this. And there's one word in this text that I want you to get a hold of. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. That he gave his only begotten son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his only, he loved the world so much that he gave his only son. That whosoever, anyone, whosoever, the old redemption hymn says, and whosoever, that means me, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, here's the word that I want you to get, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me read that again, because I've only put the emphasis. I know we speak about the love, and that's very important. But when it comes to our side of the equation, we've got to believe. We have to respond to the message of the gospel. Neutral you cannot be. There's no neutrality in this. We're either for Christ or were against him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because the reason why he gave his son was because we were going to a lost eternity. We were perishing in our sins. We're perishing in our sins, but God came in and he gave his son to die on the cross, as we were reading about. And now, if we believe in him, we don't have to perish. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to spend our life in a lost eternity. We need not perish, but we'll have everlasting life in the Father's presence throughout the countless ages of eternity. So there it is. There's the message, what it means to preach Christ. What are we going to do with the message? Has there ever been a time in your life when you placed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life when you turned from your sins, you repented and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts 20 speaks about the gospel that Paul preached, and it's the gospel that I preach. And it's repentance toward God, and it's faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So, hallelujah today. What a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save us. He saved me as a boy of 16 years old, and he's kept me all this time. And praise God, when it's all over, the Lord Jesus comes, or I go to be with him through the article of death, I'll be in the eternal bliss for the countless ages of eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we come into thy presence this morning and thank you for this time that we've had together, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel as well. It's very plain from the scriptures, what it means to preach Christ as a savior of sinners, and what it means to reject him and perish for our sins for all eternity. So, blessed God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity that's given today in our meeting, within our hearing, for to respond to the message. Not just to say it's just another ho-hum message, but we believe that Christ is with us in this. He's here. We're his ambassadors to preach the message of the gospel. And the gospel is a great message. It delivers from present power. And through eternity, it will deliver us from the very presence of sin forever. So we thank you for this time together today. Bless thy word and help us who are saved to rejoice in the wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided. We give thanks now in his worthy and precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much.